It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, January 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. Two men were sentenced to prison by a Montrose County judge after the pair pled guilty to killing a motorcyclist 2 years ago. The two hunters stretched a chain across Highway 92 to tow an elk out of the woods. Trevor Rawson was riding his motorcycle when he collided with a line, severing his spine. The two hunters, Mark Valdez and Kevin Keener, failed to contact authorities and hid their involvement. Valdez was sentenced to 6 years in prison. Keener was sentenced to 2 years. Construction of the Montrose Recreation Center is well underway, and builders recently hit a major milestone. KBNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Crews broke ground on the facility last spring, and now a majority of the walls are up.
The building has literally taken shape.
That's Ken Sherboneau. He's the executive director of the Montrose Recreation District.
The next thing that they'll do is they'll put on a temporary roof over the natatorium, which is critical path. It's the most important thing that really affects your overall ability to open on time. And so once they got that temporary roof on, they'll be able to work on the interior and stay on schedule.
Sherboneau says the 82,000-square-foot site will be the largest recreation center on the western slope. It has a price tag of $28 million, and 2 years ago, voters in the city of Montrose approved a sales tax increase to help fund the project. Plans for the recreation center include a competition lap pool, gymnasium, climbing wall, racquetball courts, and an indoor walking track. It's estimated the facility will open later this year. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
The Montrose School District got some unexpected good news this week. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
According to Superintendent Steve Scheel, last year's budget deficit wasn't as bad as they were expecting.
The audit from last year shows that we had a deficit spend of just slightly over $500,000, which is a major drop from the predicted budget deficit of that year, the 14-15 year, of about $1.1 million.
That's $600,000 that the school district saved last year. They've budgeted another deficit for this year, but because they saved so much money last year, it won't be as bad.
The forecast for the 15-16 school year budget was done almost 11 months ago. And at that time, the budget was forecast to be $1.163 million in the red. And that assumed the 1.1 deficit from the previous year.
Thanks to last year's savings, the district is only about $400,000 or $500,000 in the red.
That was good. And of course, this year we're being very careful looking at our expenditures and trying to keep that in line so that we possibly can get closer to being balanced. If our staff is healthy and we don't have a lot of subs, that can save a lot of money too. So there's just multiple parts of a school district that if you are a little bit careful, they can generate a savings, and that's what you hope for.
He cites staffing and fuel costs as two of the major cost reductions that they saw last year. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado wildlife officials took a strong stance against the release of Mexican wolves in the state. Parks and Wildlife Commissioners voted 7-4 to ban the introduction of the endangered species in Colorado. U.S. Fish and Wildlife is under court order to protect and reestablish the species. CPW, though, has now sided with Governor Hickenlooper, who opposes introducing them where they weren't historically found. The Denver Post reports that U.S. Fish and Wildlife doesn't need state permission to reintroduce the animals, and they are required to have a plan by next year. Today is the last day for comment on the second look at the Colorado roadless rule exception. An open house last month in Delta County brought in several people eager to add to the discussion. KVNF's Jake Ryan has this report.
Here in the town hall of Paonia, a crowd of people are milling about, inspecting poster-sized maps and talking with a half a dozen or so experts. Everyone here is concerned about the roadless rule. Bob Randall is the deputy director for the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. He understands why there's a pretty good turnout on a cold Monday night.
The importance of mining in the North Fork is undeniable. It's not only a major employer for the town of Paonia and for Delta County and Gunnison County, but it's an economic driver for the entire region. And I think the turnout tonight reflects that importance.
It's all about coal mining. The roadless rule was set up after years of discussion and deal-making. It set aside 4.2 million acres of public land and protected them from any development.
You know, we feel that the Colorado roadless rule offers stronger protections and that a couple of narrow exceptions recognizing important regional economic drivers was the right thing to do.
An area was set up near Paonia that was an exception. It's still included in the roadless rule area, but the restrictions were relaxed. Last year, Earth Justice, an environmental law group, won a court battle over the North Fork exception. The Forest Service had to go back to the drawing board and go through the process again, this time calculating the environmental cost of burning coal, the effect it would have on climate change.
You know, who would have thought that we would have had, they would have to analyze the burning of coal in a power plant somewhere?
That's Kathy Welt. She works at the West Elk Mine, the mine most dependent on this exception. She's been involved with the roadless rule since the beginning. She was upset that the process that she labored through was overturned in court, upset that all of this effort was going after North Fork coal.
If you're going to have coal, and coal is part of our future, no matter what folks say, it's not going to go away anytime soon. Why not be burning our coal? Little to no mercury, low sulfur, high BTU, high heat value content. This is some of the best coal maybe in the world.
And it wasn't just those in the coal industry that were disheartened by this whole thing. Allison Elliott is a board member on the Western Slope Conservation Center, a Paonia-based group that looks to protect public lands. She says that her group's predecessor was key in creating this exception.
We were able to put lands into roadless that wouldn't even have been included unless we had worked out with the coal mines that they have that potential of going into that area and putting the minimal roads in order to accomplish what they need to do. And when they're done, that they would do the highest rehab and help us advocate for wilderness status for that area.
Elliott says that the coal companies came to the bargaining table in good faith. They agreed to put it under protection with the caveat that they could mine it first. Even though vacating the exception would protect the land from development and keep more coal in the ground, it still doesn't sit well with her.
It's kind of not fair.
All the documents for the project can be found on the Forest Service's website. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.